You have your Bible open to Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I have a few thoughts that I want to give you this evening. Here's what I'd like to do. We'll let the ladies get seated, then I want everybody to whatever you're doing, the men in the sound booth, just look right up this way. Don't worry about the cameras, or I want you to look right up this way, everyone. I want to ask you some personal questions. What is it in your life that needs to change? Say nothing. You're not being truthful with yourself. There's something in all of our lives that needs to change. I can't tell you what in your life needs to change, but change is ever progressing. In order to be growing, there has to be change. You cannot not change and grow at the same time. And God expects us to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we all need change. And as I said, I don't know what the change is in your life. That's between you and God. God speaks to us about change, and we have options. We have decisions to make. We have choices. We can either do what God said and be obedient to what God speaks to us about, or we can do what I think all of us have done at some point, and that doesn't make it okay. We can begin to try to justify the reason that we shouldn't change. And that could be a number of things. It could be, well, you know what, I know some good people and they do it, so it must be okay, or I'm just as good as them. And right on down the road, you know, we can just go on and on about how we try to justify sin or needed change in our life when God speaks to us. Now, this matter about fearing God, reverencing the Lord, loving God, it's what's killed our churches, our influence. When you begin to study and you look back over the years of our country, when there was a great awakening and when God was stirring and moving, people were changing. Don't see a whole lot of change anymore. We've become comfortable. And it's a terrible place to be. And sometimes God has to stir our nest, doesn't He? He does. You know, God hates lukewarmness. And lukewarmness, and I realize hate is a strong word, but God hates lukewarmness. Lukewarmness is half-heartedness. You're not all in, but you're not all out either. Right? Yes. That's what lukewarmness is. It's half-heartedness. I'm going to go to church. I'm just not going to go every service. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm just not going to read it every day. I'm going to keep God's commandments, but I'm just going to reserve a few things that I'm going to choose not to do. Even though I know God said do it, but I'm not going to do it. I think there's probably folks in the building tonight that could identify with that. I think we've all been there. You don't have to stay there if you are there. I'm not indicting anyone. I have no one in mind. I just know about us, brethren. I'm one of us. And so it'd be real easy for me as a pastor, for you as a Christian, for us as a church, to continue to say, you know what? We won't change in Madison. We won't change in Greene County. We won't change in Culpeper. Culpeper's got to change. You know. Our country needs to change. And we listen, all this sounds good. But the question is, what change do you need to make? What change do I need to make? See, that's what I'm thinking. As I'm sitting at my desk and I'm thinking, our country's in a mess. Our country needs change. And I'm not talking about the kind that some party can bring. Okay? That's not a political speech. I'm going to give you a Bible message. We need change. And it's change that only the Holy Ghost of heaven can bring. Amen. That kind of change. I'm not talking about a new bill, a vote on the Senate floor. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something far more valuable than that, far more reaching than that. We need change that the Holy Ghost of heaven can make in our life. So what change do I need to make? It's easy for me to look out and see the change that the Democratic Party needs to make, or the Republican Party needs to make, or the Libertarian, or the Independent. Listen, it's easy to see all these things, or the Southern Baptist, or the Methodist. You see what I'm saying? Or that Independent Baptist Church, or this Independent Baptist Church, or it's easy. Or this family even. We can bring it right on down. This family or that family. Even within our family. But really, we need to say, what change do I need to make? What are the changes that I need to make that I would not be a half-hearted, lukewarm, halfway Christian? What are those changes? Is it media? Could that be it? I don't know what it is for you. You can't handle it? Because some people cannot. Oh, I can too. You know, I've talked to dozens of addicts in my ministry. All right? I've never talked to an addict who did not deny that they were an addict. Never. I've spoken with dozens and dozens of addicts, and they're in denial. I'm not an addict. I'm telling you now, preacher, I know what you're thinking, but I'm not an addict. I could quit any time. I just enjoy doing it. It's the same with this. I don't need a phone. I can do without one. Really? You ready to back that up? Going to go a week without it? Well, I can't. You can. I thought you said you could. Well, it's my work. You know. See what we're doing? Now we're digressing. And it's not just about this. What else is it? Is it a video game? Is that what keeps you up to 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning? A video game? You're a grown man. You see? See, we should be up at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning reading God's Word, praying and interceding on behalf of sinners that are dying in their sin and going to hell. We're playing a video game. I'm not, listen, you say, now, preacher, hold everything. There's nothing wrong with a video game. Well, when it starts dictating and controlling your life, there's plenty wrong with it. What changes do you need to make? What's controlling you? See, as a Christian, there will be a person controlling us, not a thing or a possession. The Spirit of God needs to be controlling our lives. And sometimes we will not allow Him to. And so here's what I want to do. I want to give you some precepts from God's Word. Then I want to give you a promise. And then I'm going to ask you to practice a few things, because I want to make some application tonight. How can I fear God? It's not enough for me to stand up here and say, you know what, you need to fear God. I need to fear God. How do you do that, preacher? Can I tell you, I received a very interesting text from a man this past week, and I really appreciate it. He said, I stayed up about all night thinking about a statement you made in the message Wednesday, and he said, I need to love God with my heart. He said, I want to know how to do that. I said, that's good. That's good. See, here's a man who says, I'm ready to change now. I understand that not everybody's there. Some folks, this is going to go, phew. Why? I'm not ready to change. You're talking to them, preacher. Right? You're talking to someone else. I'm not ready. I don't need change. This is where it's going right here. I don't need to change. I'm not ready for this. I don't want to sit this down. I'm not ready to flip it off. Right over our head. Did you know that there was a time in, you ought to read the book of Malachi. And we may get there before the service is through tonight. Where the people were, I mean, listen, they were despising God's name, right? They were robbing God of his tithe and offerings. They were saying, you know, we don't think you should be our master, our God. And then God confronted them and said, wherein have we done these things? They couldn't see their need. They couldn't see the need. And God said, well, the need is real. And if you do not change, then I'm going to send a curse to you. What happens after the book of Malachi, brethren? You can speak up. 400 silent years. Now, see, we think the worst thing God can do, and then something comes up in our minds. I'm going to tell you something. The worst thing God can do is shut off his voice to me. I don't want God to quit speaking to me. I don't think you do either. How terrible that was. 400, they're called intertestament years, but more appropriately, silent years. God went silent on them. Because he said, I've spoken and I've spoken and I've sent prophet after prophet and I've confronted and I've confronted. And you're saying, what's wrong? What's all the fuss about? Wasn't that what happened in the book of Malachi? What's all the fuss about? And so I don't want us to get there. But I'm afraid that we're real, real close as a society to where we have just shut God out. And it's if we're not careful, we'll be on autopilot to where we think, you know what, I know what to do, I know what to say, I know how to act, I know how to respond. And, you know, we just kind of got it down. And so I want you to, let's look at a few things here tonight, okay? Back in Deuteronomy 6, I want you to look what God says here. He said, I want you to fear me, okay? And we talked about that. We'll come back to that. And he said, I want you to keep all my statutes. Keep all the statutes and his commandments in verse number 2, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life. I want you to keep them. I don't want you to keep them until you get 18. I don't want you to keep them until you get 60. Right? 65, well, I'm retiring on God. You know, I'm gonna travel. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. No, you serve God until God takes you out of here. Amen. Then you get down in verse number 3, and he said, "Hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee." Now, what's God saying here? God's saying the things that I'm saying, the things that I'm requiring. The things that I'm commanding here, it's good for you. See, this is where a lot of our young people, young folks, please listen to your pastor tonight. God wants to help you. God wants to bless you. And the enemy will tell you, oh, listen, the devil will come and he'll say, oh, listen, that preacher and those parents and those Christian teachers and that Bible and God, he wants to take all the fun out of life. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. God wants to bless you. God wants it to be well with thee. Isn't that what the book said? Amen. God said, I'm doing this for your good. Right? Can I tell you something? God without me is still God. Me without God, I'm in trouble. And so God said, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for your health, for your happiness, for your holiness. Right? God said, I'm doing this for you. These commandments are to aid you. But the enemy will turn it around and say, well, God just wants this and he just wants to control this and control that. No, God wants to bless you. And so he's saying, this is what I want you to do so you will put yourself in a position for me to bless you, that it may be well with thee. That's what he's saying, right? You see it? So don't let the enemy tell you different, please. The enemy will tell, he'll try to tell you different and say, well, now, God's trying to hold back and God's trying to take this out and that out. No, God's wanting you to live your fullest life. You know the verse over there in 1 Peter? Hold your place here. Go to 1 Peter chapter, I think it's chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, this is what God wants for your life. It's a great verse of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter number 3, why does God want me to keep His commandments? Why does God want me to fear Him? Why does God want me to love Him with all of my heart and my soul and my might? Why does God want me to keep His statutes and His judgments and His commandments? It's right here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look down if you would, and once you get there, I'll give everyone an opportunity to find 1 Peter chapter 3. And then look down if you would in verse number, 1 Peter chapter 3, I think it's in verse number 8. Verse number 10. For he that will love life and see good days. You see that? 1 Peter 3:10. God wants you to love life and see good days. He said back in Deuteronomy, I want it to be well with you. Can I ask you a question? Do you love life? Are you seeing good days? In order to do that, there's just some things you have to do. Look at what he said in verse number 10. Let him what? Refrain. There's some things you have to do to love life and see good days. God said, I want you to live life to its fullest. I want you to love life. I want you to see good days. But now there's parameters. There's barriers. Right? You just can't do what you want to do and love life and see good days. See, that's the lie of the enemy. The lie of the enemy is break free and do what you want. Get off the track and go your own way. No, listen, you get marred down when you get off track. You travel the best when you're on track. You get to your destination when you stay on track. See, but the enemy says, oh, God's trying to keep you on track. He's trying to control. Yeah, he's trying to keep you from hurting yourself is what he's trying to do. Right? You hear me, brethren? See, the devil's a liar. Say amen, Christian. The devil's a liar. And he lies and he deceives and he wants you to have you to believe that God is trying to take the fun and the goodness out of life, when in reality what God is trying to do is to bless us and help us to see good days and to love life. Now we go back to Deuteronomy, and I want to give you some principles here, okay? Number one, I said it this morning, be a model. Live a life of reverence. Fear God. We're going to come back to this one, and I want to talk to you about how to fear God. The Bible. Did you know the Bible says in Psalm 87, it says that God is to be greatly feared. In Psalm, I think Psalm 47, maybe 48, it says that He's greatly to be praised. I knew that verse, but when I began to run references and I began to look at some verses, I found there in Psalm, let's just turn there. I think it's Psalm 87. Turn there if you would. Psalm 87. It says, God is to be greatly praised. Psalm 89, I'm sorry, verse 7. I can't go on memory like I used to. Psalm 89, verse 7, I am by the help and grace of God. I'm going to memorize this verse of Scripture. Look at Psalm 89, verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. There ought to be a reverence among God's people, especially in God's house. He's to be greatly feared. So as we go back, we see where God says, I want you to be a model in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want your life to be a life of reverence. And then he said, I want it to be a life of righteousness. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. He said, I want you to keep all His statutes and His commandments. Live a life of righteousness. Don't be half-hearted. Don't pick and choose what you're going to do when God commands you to do something. See, there's a tendency to do this. There's a tendency for us to do this. And yet God said, no, I want you to keep all of my statutes. I want you to keep all of my commandments. You say, preacher, I can't do that. Not in your own energy, you can't. But with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, you can. We can be obedient to the Lord with the help of His Holy Spirit. Amen? Would God be unjust to tell us to keep His commandments if He was not going to aid us in keeping them? God's going to give us the help that we need to keep His Word. And He has through the aid of the Holy Spirit. And then He said, if you will live a life of reverence and righteousness, he said, I'm going to reward you. Look at what he said now in verse number 2. He said, thou and thy son and thy son's sons all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. You see that? Could you imagine how the world would change if people quit drinking? Let's just take that one sin. You know how many hundreds of thousands of people die every year because of drinking? And we've got Christians saying, oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking. Oh, come on. Come on. I need you to go visiting with me sometime. I could take you to Proverbs 20 verse 1, but you probably wouldn't believe it. But if you don't want to believe the Bible, go visiting with me sometime. It'll change your mind on this social drinking. Amen? Could you imagine how life could be prolonged? Could you imagine the productivity of life, of family, of children, if we just cut out alcohol? Billions and billions of dollars are wasted because of alcohol. That's not including drugs. Alcohol is a drug. Young people, you say, I'm thinking about experimenting with it. You be careful. That's a dangerous experiment. Amen. Amen. You be careful. No. No, you don't. Drug. Listen, there's billions and billions. The last count I had, this has been back in the 90s, okay? 20-something billion dollars in our country because of drugs. Drugs. It ruins lives. And God said, listen, he said, I want you to keep my commandments. I want you to fear me. I want you to keep my statutes. Why? He said, I want to protect you from yourself. I want to prolong your days. And why? He said, you're going into a land. And he said, I just want you to have a good environment. Right? See, but it starts with me. Look at it again here. In verse number 2. Thou, that's me, and thy son. See, that's where it starts. And thy son's son, that's where it starts. So, preacher, I want to impact the multitudes. Well, listen, thank God for that. And God may raise someone up that'll do that. But I've got to start with me and my son. Right? You have to do the same. So, he said, I want you to fear me. Then he said in verse number 3, he said, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. At some point, you've got to put it to practice. That it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So here's saying there's going to be reward for you. If you will, listen, God said, if you'll honor me, if you'll obey me, there's reward. So here's three things, all right? Number one, reverence. I hope you'll write it down, put it in your mind, get it in your heart. Reverence the Lord. Fear the Lord. Number two, righteousness. Keep his commandments. Do right. Do right. You have someone who will aid you and guide you to do right. It's the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, we have a comforter. We have a come alongside. We have someone who will help us to do right, to make right decisions. We're bent on making wrong decisions. But thank God that God will help us. Amen? He'll help us to make good, sound, solid, biblical decisions. Righteousness. Now, I'm going to say a word right here before I move on about this thing with righteousness. Your children, listen, this thing of righteousness is cult quicker than it's taught. See, if you're telling your children how to do right and you're doing wrong, they're not going to listen to you. Some of you, well, let me just say this. I'm not going to say some of you. Christians, some Christians need to clean their language up. Yeah. That's right. Clean it up. You need to clean your entertainment up. That's right. Now, God has expectations of all of us. And we need to have a standard in our lives. And there is no room for profanity in your household, whether it's coming out of your mouth or someone who's speaking it on your television. There was a day when you wouldn't feel that tension when you made that kind of statement. But brethren, we've come so far away from what God expects of us. It's almost like people bow up inside and say, "Now wait a minute now. You're trying to tell me what to do." No, I'm trying to tell you what God said you should do. Righteousness. There's no way that you would invite neighbors down the road to come in and start necking and carrying on in front of your children, but you'll flip the television on and let it go on in front of them. Now, there's something wrong with that, brethren. Something wrong with that. It's double standard. It's double standard. I'm just saying we need to make some changes. That's all. I'm not indicting anyone. I'm just saying some changes need to be made. Profanity, vulgarity, certain music, it's not right. And the word righteousness comes from right acts, the righteousness of the saints. Look at it. What to do right. This thing is caught a lot easier than it's taught. And so people are watching, okay? Kind of hard to have good, clean thoughts if you're watching dirty stuff. Is that right? Come on, brother. Help the preacher out a little bit. I said, is that right? Say, "Hey, man, I don't know about this preacher." Yeah, I know the devil doesn't either, but I'm going to plow right through it. Okay? Because there needs to be some change if we're going to make a difference and make an impact. I'm not fussing at anyone. I'm not indicting anyone. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there needs to be some change. There needs to be some change. There needs to be some change in the preacher's life. You say, "Preacher, you use profanity?" No, I'm not talking about the profanity part. But that doesn't mean there doesn't need to be change in my life. Now, why? Well, because he said if you'll get the reverence part down and you'll get the righteousness part down, he said, "I've got a reward for you." He said, "I'm going to reward you with a prolonged life and days." And then he said in verse number 3, he said, "I'm going to make it that it would be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." God said, "I'm going to take care of you." Is that what he's saying, brethren? God said, "I'm going to take care of you." Now I want to give you this, and then I'm going to give you some practices to take home. Then he said in verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now he's getting ready to change on us a little bit, and he's going to go from fearing the Lord to loving the Lord. He's going to go from dedication in our life to devotion in our love. Now this is where it really gets me. This is where it hurts me. He said in verse number 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart." Man, that gets me. You love the Lord with all of your heart? Be careful now. God's listening. Back up with me, if you would, in verse number 27 of chapter 5. The children of Israel, after God had given the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel went to Moses and they said, "Moses, we're upset here. Man, that shook us up. I mean, God, this God is powerful. And we're going to ask you if you would just go to God and see what God says, and then you come and tell us. We don't want to stand on that mountain anymore. We're trembling." Verse number 26 says this, "For who is there of all the flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking?" This is them speaking to Moses, "speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived." We're scared for our lives. Moses? Verse number 27, they said unto Moses, they said, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it." I'm telling you now, I talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. You know, if people shook up when they don't even know what God's going to say, and they said, whatever he says, we're going to do it. Amen. I mean, it shook them up. It put the fear of God in them. See, I think that's what we need. We need the fear of God in us. We need to hear from heaven again. Heaven's grown silent, brethren. And I fear that it's getting more silent with each passing day. We need to hear from heaven. In order to hear from heaven, we're going to have to make some change. We've turned God down, and even some have turned him off. I don't want to be there, and I don't think you do either. See, God will let us play church without him now. He will. God will let us do church without him. You can do the church thing, as the contemporary says. You can do the church thing without God. I don't want to do this without God, and I don't think you do either. So what are we going to do? Look at what the scripture says here. Verse 28, the Lord heard the voice of your words. Moses now speaking. And Moses said, and the Lord heard the voice of your words. So when I ask you, do you love God with all of your heart? Now the Lord's listening. He's listening to me. The Lord heard the voice of your words, and when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, and they have spoken unto thee, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. He says, you know, it sounds good. But now this next verse is powerful. He said, oh, this is God speaking. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me. He said, oh, that my people would fear me. This is God. Oh, that my people would honor me. My people would reverence me. My people would pay obeisance to me. They would bow before me and humble themselves and realize who I am and what I have to offer. That's what God is saying. They don't realize it, Moses. If only they could see what I have in store for them. You know, there's a God in heaven right now thinking that about me and you and us. He said, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. God said, I only want to help them. I'm just doing this because I want to bless them, that it may be well with them. You see what's happening here? That it may be well with them. Now watch this next statement. And with their children forever. Now listen, I'm a parent, okay? And I want to talk to parents just for a moment. There's not a parent in here that says, you know what? I really want what's best for my children today and moving forward for the rest of their life. You know, every parent's that way, aren't we, parents? Right here's a great promise for you, sir. Listen to me, dads. Moms, listen to me. God said, if you have a heart to fear me and to keep my commandments always, he said, I will make it well with thee and for your children forever. What a promise. What a promise from the Word of God. That's God's Word. That's just not some man up here making light. That's God's Word that I'm telling you. And so God said, I pray that you would fix this thing in your heart. Now, I want you to move down to verse number 6 of chapter 6. And he said, that these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, here it is, and I'm going to give you this, and we'll give you some practices, and we'll be done. It's got to get to your heart, brethren. This thing of serving God is not, it's not in your head. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. And I made some mistakes as a parent. And I thank God all my children are in church and their spouses and their children's in church. And I thank God for that. It's by the grace of God. I've made some mistakes. You know, if we're not careful as parents, we'll think it's up here. We got to get them up here. No, God said it's right here. They need a change of heart. You can't do it in your mind. You can't do it in your mind. It's in your heart. Look at chapter 6, verse 6. God said, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. See, God deals with the heart, brethren. The heart. What I need and what you need and what our children need and what the next generation need and what our churches need is a change of heart. A heart that's blazing. A heart that's fervent. A heart that's on fire for God. A heart. Not a half heart. See, if I'm not careful, I'll be up here. I'm just telling on me. You have to tell on you. And we'll be singing at Calvary, and I've got 50 things on my mind. God forgive me. 25 of them are you. Just being honest. And we could be singing, years I spent in vanity and pride. Oh, my goodness. That ought to melt my heart. The truth of that. That's me. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. It's about right there that God starts squeezing the heart, isn't it, brethren? Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. That's when a big old amen wants to come out. But instead, we've got other things just circulating in our heart, and it's just in our minds, and it's just filling our heart with so many things other than what it should be. And God said, it's got to get down in your heart. It can't be halfway. You can't sing halfway. You can't sing at Calvary and think about work tomorrow. You can, but it's not with your heart. With all your heart. Look again at verse number 5. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart. God doesn't want half my heart. God doesn't want me to be half in. God doesn't want me to give half. God wants me to give it all. God wants you to give it all. Right? God said, I'll not accept half. Read Malachi. God said, I'm not going to accept half. I'll get your all or I'll not accept any. And that's just the way it is, brethren. So what are we going to do, preacher? You paint a grim picture. Oh, it's not a grim picture. It's just we're old sinners saved by grace and we need God to help us. We need to realize, God, we need thee every hour. We need thee every hour, Lord. God, we don't need you every Sunday. Only. We don't need you every Wednesday only. We don't need you every day only. We need you every hour. I'd like to go and say, I need him every second. Amen. I need God. Amen. I need him. And I know I speak to a group of people who understand that. So what are we going to do? Well, the chief purpose of man is to glorify God. Solomon said, here's the conclusion. Right? He said, here's the conclusion. Turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Turn there right quick. Ecclesiastes 12, this is what he said. He closed out the book. Here's old Solomon, the wisest man ever to live outside the Lord Jesus, according to the scripture, as far as I can tell in my calculation and study of the Bible. And in Ecclesiastes, he's going through and he's saying, vanity is vanity, all is vanity. And he just carries on and he gets down into chapter number 12. He's getting ready to close the book out in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And he comes down to verse number 13 and he said, let us hear the conclusion. You there? The conclusion, are you looking? Or is it that half heart again to where you say, well, now, you know, I'm not going to look at that one. Half heart. So you see what I'm saying? Half heart. Follow all the way. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You're going to love life and see good days? Fear God and keep his commandments. Amen. So what are we going to do, preacher? How can I fear God? Well, I wrote down some things. I hope you'll write them down. Little simple things. Would you go home and try for a week? If it doesn't work, come back to me and say, preacher, you know that little thing you said? It didn't work. I'm serious. I'm confident that it will. I'm that confident that it'll work. Now, you got to do the work. See, we think hearing a Bible message is going to change our life. Well, it has the potential to. But until we apply... Listen, the blood of Jesus has the potential of cleansing every sin in your life. But until it's been applied, it's not going to cleanse you from any of them. But when the blood's been applied, you can be cleansed from all your sin, amen. We can hear a Bible message, and the Bible message has the potential, the Word of God has the power to cleanse us and to renew us and to make us a whole new person. The Bible has that kind of authority and power. But until we apply it, it's going to do very little in our lives. It's not just enough to hear it. You read that passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy over and over again. It says, do it, do it, do it, do it. So I'm going to give you some things to do. Number one, simple. Read your Bible 15 minutes a day. You say, wait a minute, I'm going to read my Bible an hour. You know what? If you haven't been reading your Bible regular, I'm going to recommend you stick to 15 minutes. Because here's what normally happens. Those of you who've done this, help me out here. So you go slacking something for a little while, and then you get all fired up and emotional, and you say, I'm going to read my Bible for 2 hours. You might do that for the first day, maybe the second, and then before long, you won't be reading it at all. Because you don't have 2 hours. Yet. I'd like to encourage you to start off 15 minutes. Read your Bible 15 minutes a day. You want to fear God? You got to know who you're fearing. What better way of knowing who you're fearing than reading about Him? Read your Bible 15 minutes a day. Number two, pray 15 minutes a day. All right? We're talking about life change here. You say, preacher, this is simple. I thought you were going to talk about, you know, interceding and danger and adventure. Well, you know what? That'll come as you begin to walk by faith. But until you begin to read your Bible and pray, you're not going to walk by faith. Nor am I. And so I'm encouraging you now. Read your Bible 15 minutes a day, every day. You say, when, preacher? Well, I don't know. You know when's best for you. I know when's best for me. I love the morning time. That's my time. But now, you know what? I don't know your situation, so I can't say. You know your situation. But I want you to commit in your heart, I'm going to read my Bible 15 minutes every day. You say, preacher, this is Fellowship Baptist Church. This is a great church. You mean tell me that there's people in here don't read their Bible every day? Well, I'm not indicting anyone, but now I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a couple that didn't. And just if there is, then I'm going to speak to you on live stream. You read your Bible 15 minutes a day. I'm not being smart enough. I'm just saying, I know that I know that I know the devil fights us. And he doesn't want us reading our Bible. Because if he knows, if we do, we're going to fear God and keep his commandments. And we're going to start loving life and seeing good days. And he doesn't want that. All right? Read your Bible 15 minutes a day. I want every young person, look right up here at the preacher. That means you too. I'm not just talking to mom and daddy. Read your Bible. You'll be glad you did. You say, preacher, I don't understand a lot I read. Well, you know what? Listen to me now, young folks. Your pastor doesn't understand a lot he reads either, but I just keep right on reading. And God just begins to open it up to me. God will begin to open it up to you. All right? You say, well, I don't understand a lot I read. Well, now listen, you might want to write down a question and ask mom or dad, but you just keep reading 15 minutes a day now. All right? Pray 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day. Just pray. Say, I don't have anything to pray about. Oh, you see me after the service, I'll give you plenty to pray about. If you'll just begin to think, you'll have a lot to pray about. Amen? Yeah. You'll run out of time praying. You will. All right, number three. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. We have not because we ask not. You know, I think sometimes folks think because they're saved, they're just automatically going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, listen, he said that the Father knows what we have need of. He said, now the earthly fathers give you, he said, they'll give you some stuff not so good. He said, so how much better is our Heavenly Father? He said, He'll give you what you ask, and He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. You need to pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God lives in every believer. Do you ask Him to fill you? Ask the Spirit of God to fill you every day, to control you. That's what the word fill means. It means control. There's times in the Bible when it says the people were filled with wrath, which means what? Wrath controlled them. They were filled with joy. What? Joy controlled them. It controlled their emotion. It controlled their actions. Be filled with the Spirit. Let Him control you. All right? You'll make good decisions. You'll find yourself, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, making Bible decisions. Right, brethren? Right. Stick with me a little longer. I'm about through here. Read your Bible 15 minutes a day. Pray 15 minutes a day. Ask God's Holy Spirit to fill you every day. If you sin, well, let me change that. When you sin, You ask God's forgiveness and say, God, now fill me with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go one moment of one day not filled with your Spirit. Amen, believers? Amen, believers? I've only got two more. Number four, ask God to help you keep His revealed commandments. When you're reading the Bible, God will bring something to your remembrance. God will teach you a new truth. When you're riding down the road, God will bring something to your mind that you said you were going to do and you didn't do it. God will speak to your heart about something and you say, now God, I didn't do that and I'm sorry. And with your help, I'm going to do that, Lord. I gave my word, I'm going to do that. Because I don't want to dishonor your name and I don't want to tarnish my testimony. Amen, brethren? Say, God, help me now. I want to keep your commandments. And then finally, number five. Tell God you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. You say, well, preacher, what if I don't? It'll be good for you to tell Him anyway. Because you need to know God loves you whether you love Him or not. Can I tell you, I haven't loved God like I should sometimes. And I'll tell God, God, I'm sorry I don't love you like I should. And He said, that's all right. I still love you the same. Oh, my. That does my heart so good. Just makes me love Him more, you see. You see what I'm saying? When you tell God you love Him, and you know I don't love you like I should, and God just whispers back, but I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. Hey, man, your lack of love for me doesn't change my whole love for you. My goodness, how that bubbles in my heart. It's going to help you too. It is. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. And say, God, I know I don't love you as I should. I want to love you like you desire to be loved. I want to love you like you deserve to be loved. And even here in Deuteronomy, I want to love you like you demand to be loved with all of my heart. God, would you help me to love you with all of my heart? I want to love you that way, Lord. I do. I want to love you with all of my heart. I don't want to be lukewarm. But I'm prone to be that. I'm prone. And I don't want to be that. Because, God, I know it doesn't satisfy you. I don't want that. I want to love you with all of my heart. There's five things. Would you try that for a month? Would you commit to that? Listen, I'm not accustomed to asking people that, but I'm trying to make some application here. We've got to make some change. We've got to do something. You say, preacher, this is simple stuff. Well, sometimes you have to start with the simple stuff. I'm afraid we want worldwide revival and we can't even read our Bibles daily. Let's start with the basics. Let's get back to the basics. All right? Let's stand. Now, I hope this helps somebody. As I was planning and praying and penning these thoughts down, God spoke to my heart and said, you know what, son? Sometimes you just need to get back to the basics. And so God gave me those things. Didn't get that out of a book, though I'm sure there's been many books written on these things. All right? God just gave them to me sitting up at best. And He challenged me with them. Just get back to the basics, all right? Now you say, well, preacher, I'm already doing these things. Well, can I encourage you? Maybe you pick it up a little bit, all right? Do it for a month. Would you do that? Let's bow our heads together.